became aware of the power of conversation when I was a stay-at-home mom of three preschoolers. Friends would call and I'd talk their ears off, desperate for adult communication. If I remember correctly, some of them quit calling. When the children became teenagers, I loved driving them wherever they needed to go, as when there was no eye contact, they were much more open and talkative, giving me an important view into their worlds.
Too much of living, breathing, and being alone opened that window specifically with Agnes. When deep in the ugly grays of winter, I called her out of the blue to ask if she would simply phone me for just 1 week for 5 minutes, just to ask me what I was doing for the day, so I could talk to someone, hear another voice. Note, loneliness being one of our conversational themes over the last year, to make my long story even longer, before long it was Agnes who suggested that our 5 minute sound checks were actually interesting, and going on for 20-30 minutes, we would just take off. I firmly believe that conversation saves us. It heals and reveals.
And now, as a boomer who doesn't have any interest in retiring, I am rejuvenated, replenished by conversation. I'm cognizant of the power and the importance of both conversation and story. And Suleika, I appreciate always being able to exchange ideas, thoughts, and words with you.
Well, one other thing. Whenever I mention that our podcast is called The Lost Art of Conversation, the response is always positive. There's always an emotional response of, oh, great, that's a great idea. So going with that, let's go with it.
Let's go.
Well, I have very good news.
Good.
I followed up with Mike yesterday.
Yeah.
And he was exuberant, I have to say. Oh, just following up, I said, because you know what, that male thing that men have, some women have it, I don't, where they just get things done from point A to point B. So he said, I packaged it up, all of your information, I send it to the district manager, he's got it. The only thing that's come up is that the union has already implemented ESL. And he said, it's not dead. It's not a no. It's still in there. And so we talked a bit and I said, well, and he made a point first. He said, the only thing that's in our favor, if that's the word he used, is that this would be a community thing for this particular location because it's where it is. And I said, well, there are 70,000 people in the West End from the border of Burrard, Denman, Davy, Robson. And I said, how about if I get some numbers together on that before I leave next week and we meet again? And he said, sure, that'd be great. So that's what I'm up to.
Is that like a demographic study then?
Well, I guess so. And I started trying to find those stats, but I'm just going to bitch for 14 seconds and say there is less information with all of this new technology than there was 30 years ago when there was nothing. I can't find up-to-date information past 2012 with the City of Vancouver or the West End Business Association. So I'm calling back today to say, look, I've got this. Stats Canada doesn't do anything with neighborhoods, so they can only tell me the breakdown of Asian new Canadians and South American Canadians in the entire city of Vancouver, which doesn't pinpoint target market the numbers that I need. So I'm in the middle of that. Can you hear me?
Would it be worth a phone call to City Hall to say, surely there is more up-to-date information than 2012 or whatever?
No, they don't have it.
That's ridiculous.
Isn't that something? I'm appalled. They said, we get our information from Stats Canada. So I called Stats Canada. But that's appalling. I mean, the whole thing about developers, the influx of population, I know there's been, since 1990 to 2000, an increase of 20,000 people in the West End. No, Vancouver. And Vancouver's population is 630,155 right now, as of the 2016 consensus. But up to date, there doesn't seem to be anything. I can't believe it.
Now, how about a lot of cities? I mean, even, you know, Nanaimo and like smaller cities have
like a West End business development.
Yeah, I've gone there. I've already phoned them. They don't have anything recent either. Their website is nothing. It has no stats. So I put in a call to the executive director, talked to the secretary. She was kind of helpful. He didn't call me back, so I'm going to call him back.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is crazy. Maybe it's one of those situations where there's so much information portal platforms that everybody, all those platforms think, oh, well, somebody else is going to take care of it. Having the information, having the stats. But in the olden days, you would go to City Hall, you would go to a business association, there's always been one in the West End, and they would have numbers, they would have stats, they would have detailed information. There's none of that. Or maybe there will be, but I have to double check that. First cursory look, not much.
Well, you know what they say.
I'm listening.
You know, you need vision to be 2020, and that's next year.
Sorry. Hey, who says that? I like that. Where does it come from?
That's my joke. Next year. like it started in 2017. I can't tell you my 3-year vision I can't tell you my 3-year plan because I don't have 2020 vision. And I thought it was actually kind of cute.
That is cute. Oh, you have a brain that is very precise.
Oh, dear.
It's like listening to tumblers in a key exchange with you.
Yeah, every once in a while you got the wrong key.
Gee, I never heard of that one. Dear. Anyway, I was buoyed by the enthusiasm he expressed. And so I'm going shopping today. So I'll see.
Is there any... is there any point in getting more information about Sobey's ESL program, the union's ESL program? Like who does that? Like, is it effective? Is it on site? Like, is it localized?
Well, here's what I'm thinking. And as soon as he said there's already an ESL program the union has put into play. Now, bear with me. This comes from my heart of what I know about business and doing stories for 30 years. The union is a little behind and they don't want to let go of their territory. It's like, well, we've got this. We don't want anything else. ESL is not IELTS. IELTS is the very specific testing mechanism that the government of Canada has imposed on new immigration that comes into the country in the last couple of years. So that's what I need to fine tune. In terms of not just learning English, but how to understand it. ESL is learning English. IELTS is understanding using the skills of listening, repetition, speaking, so that it's a skill set. It's not learning by rote. It's not parroting, which is what ESL tends to be. So there is a difference right off the top. It's up to me to sharpen the difference of what that is. And so that's why I wanted to get some numbers about the influx of Chinese new Canadians, Spanish. There's nothing on Persians because Persians, traditionally their language is Farsi, but since 1920, they've been speaking French. So to give those demarcations about language and learning, as I talked to you before about Asian languages they're logographic, meaning they have to change symbols into letters before they can translate into speaking, which is what makes it so difficult with Asian speakers when they're trying to grasp the English language because we know it's difficult. So what I'm hoping to do is to sharpen up that difference between ESL and IELTS.
Could you get, and I don't know if this would be like a national average or if you could ever find the Vancouver numbers, but yeah. the failure rate of first time IL takers.
Well, that's interesting.
Because if a large enough percentage of people are failing their first attempt at ILs.
Right.
That would really emphasize the need for specific IL training.
Oh, gosh, that's good. Yeah, okay.
And I don't know if you can get those numbers or not.
I'm going to try. I've got one friend who's in the ESL business. I'll ask him. He's very erudite. He's got a lot of knowledge. He's a bit of a snob right now, though, so he might not want to share it with me. However, that's a wonderful idea. That's a very sharp point. Okay, I'm going to do that.
You know, and I mean, the other thing, too, is, you know, like if you ever got to butt heads with the ESL program, is to say, you know, can you guarantee IL passing marks with your right. course? Which, of course, they can't because it's only ESL.
Right, right.
So, But that's good that he's enthusiastic, though, because that...
Well, it's not a no, and that means there it's a maybe, and a maybe is closer to yes, in my estimation, as a pure romantic.
Well, the door's open.
Yes.
The door was slammed shut, then, you know, you just jump your toes back real fast. But if it's open, geez, yes, they're wedging your body in the way.
I am so. Okay, so that's one thing. And number two, I have a question to ask you. And it's pretty simple, and it's a yes or no. But I have a fabulous piece of jewelry that I want to sell. And if you help me sell it, I will give you a commission. It's estimated to be worth $2,500. I've got a picture. I'm going to send it, and I'm going to bring it.
Is that watch of your mother's?
No.
Sorry, I'm just teasing.
Oh, you joker, you. But do you know that it took me about 2 days to realize that the Roman numeral 10 was fading. So I did realize it was a fake. For a moment there, I thought, oh, it's whatever it was, Cartier. Well, I can't even remember. But no, this is a fabulous piece of Navajo jewelry that was estimated, what do we say, appraised at $2,500 10 years ago. But with jewelry and everything, it might not be worth much. But there's a jeweler in, is it Parksville? No. When I go to Qualicum, where I'm going to contact him and see if he knows of anybody I can sell it to. But would you mind if I sent you a picture and you could look at it and say, I know exactly who would want that for even $1,500.
I don't know anybody that buys expensive jewelry, but yes, please do. Now, where do the Navajo live?
That would be New Mexico.
Perfect.
And it's a beautiful piece. It's a squash blossom, which were very popular in the 1920s. And you can imagine 1920s, all through the last 100 years, the turquoise of the world has diminished greatly. And I'm not going to say this is one of the last pieces, but I did buy it in 1994.
So when was the last time you had an appraisal done?
Oh, a long time ago. I haven't been able to play in that world for years.
No, but do you have one, like a written appraisal?
I have the appraisal done at the time.
What was the value at that point in time?
It was $650 when I bought it. But the last time I checked.
But where I'm going, and it describes what this piece
yes,
consists
exactly.
of. Sorry. I would suggest finding a jeweler down in, what's the town in New Mexico? And I can even, I'm acquainted with somebody from down there that we were just recently talking about.
I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you. I don't mean to do that. I have the place where I bought the jewelry.
Well, start there, but also it'd be real easy to do a search and find a jeweler that carries like stuff. So whether it's First Nations or, you know, some sort of Aboriginal kind of artwork, contact them, send them a copy of the appraisal, a picture of the piece. Say, you can go one of two routes. So say, what do you think in today's market this would be worth? And yeah. Do you know anybody willing to or interested in it? And if they come back and say, oh yeah, we'll buy it for that price of $650, you can say, thanks for your interest, goodbye. If they come back and say, geez, in today's market, fabulous piece, because the description is there, you know, $2,500, we'll buy it for $2,500 because we can resell it.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting more than what you're expecting, even paying, you know, $100 for shipping.
Yeah.
But just to go back to the origin, place of origin, and especially if it's Navajo, I would think there'd be a definite, like people go to Navajo country to get Navajo stuff, right?
Why did I think the opposite? Why did I think that if you go somewhere as far away from Navajo, you'd have interested people because they can't get to Navajo country? Is that just because I'm peculiar?
No, it's just that, you know, and I've even just saw it last week even with a friend of mine who absolutely loved a piece of local First Nations art.
Yeah.
Because that represents where they live.
Right.
You know, like if you can find a displaced New Mexican up here,
yeah,
they might be all over it.
You're right.
Because it reminds them of it. Like, that's just one. Once again, it's only my opinion. Like, we've just got different opinions here. And it could be that we're both right. It's just a matter of, finding the outlet. You know, so maybe check a jeweler or like a, I guess it has to be a jeweler that deals in, like, even First Nations, local First Nations stuff. A gift shop, that kind of thing. Would they be interested in Navajo? And even get their opinion. It might just be worth a phone call.
Actually, you've tripwired some good details there. There was a show at the Bill Reed Foundation 5 years ago, six, called Totems and Turquoise. And it was specifically about marrying the two cultures. That's an excellent, excellent. And there were people there. Yes. Oh, I might even have an actual contact. Okay, good. I will get onto that.
I'd say go both, you know, both routes. I mean, if you can do it locally, obviously that's so much easier.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just might be worth a quick email or like two emails to like two different people. Like in New Mexico.
I'll send it to you so you can look at it and pass it on, see what happens. Mm-hmm. And again, whatever you can parlay into the negotiation, if anything, then I will give you some money.
Well, the other place that does have some pretty expensive stuff, and we have season's passes, is our museum, the gift shop down there. So even now, when I was out at, and we could even probably Google this successfully, when I was out, I don't know if I told you, last Thursday evening, I was at a comedy show out in Sydney at the Mary Winspear Theatre Centre, whatever it's called, and there was a huge display, and I don't know if it was actually the Winspear's collection of First Nations. Now, that was a little bit more extensive. There was Dene stuff, Inuit, that sort of thing, but whether or not it would be worth finding out, you know, is that just a closed collection display, or are they still collecting?
Because yes, there's many avenues to.
So those are the two places that I could think of, and I'm happy to, you know, do that for you to drop by and find, or like Mary Winspear, I'd probably just make the phone call to find out, you know, is that a closed collection, or are they still? I don't even know if the Winspears are actually a living couple, or whether they were just sponsors of the Mary Winspear Center. But whether, you know, is that family still doing their thing? But as I say, the museum has some definite First Nations, but I'm not sure if it's just local First Nations.
Now, which museum are you talking about?
The Royal BC.
Oh, yes. Well, my friends who used to run the Bill Reed Foundation, they're in Ottawa now. He was that guy. He was the guy who was always invited to Frankfurt or Rome to open up museums because he's like, genius guy, Order of Canada, Harvard, blah. He's 90 years old now. And his wife just died, and I feel so sad about the loss of her. I haven't talked to him in months. She died in January. Is it appropriate to send him an email asking him, do you think?
Oh, it was in January. Yeah, it's not like it was last week.
Okay, all right.
You know, express your condolences. And even if you sort of say, I wanted to wait an appropriate amount of time before I hit you up with business stuff or whatever, you know, like my stuff.
I can do that. Okay, I've blabbed on and on about me. Tell me all about you.
Nothing interesting, though. No changes since yesterday. I'm hoping to knock this cold out of the park by, Thursday. And get back into my auditions.
Yes.
But yeah, today is my Tuesday afternoon out.
Do you find that colds really take it out of you these days?
No, I get more frustrated than anything that, like, excuse me, I don't have time for this.
Yeah, I hear you.
Mm-hmm. My daughter is displaced for at least a month.
What?
Yeah, well, because everything that they would have shot in on top of the fire in the terms of water and whatever would be toxic. So wow. All of the drywall, all of the carpets in their place have to be replaced. She's being positive about her stuff, but I would rather think if it's been sitting in a soggy carpet with toxicity in it, that it may just want to be chucked, but I don't know. So they're dealing with that this week. They've moved to an Airbnb, and there's a possibility that my son-in-law can work remotely. So I'm just hoping they come over here. The father's got a huge house, and they could live there for a month, and hopefully yeah. It will be done in a month.
Wow. But,
so I'm not sure how many people, definitely the burnt out place, they're displaced. I would think two floors above, possibly over as well, one unit over. There's going to be a number of places where they're displaced. There, Heather and Rubens' water damage above would be smoke damage.
Right.
So.
What a story.
Yeah, and it just goes to show how quickly that life can change.
Yeah.
Like through no action of your own. I'm sure they were sitting there, feet up, having a cold beverage on a Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, trying to decide what to have for dinner.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How are the children dealing with it? Well, it's an adventure, I guess.
Well, for the 20-month-old, yeah. And, of course, she thinks it's an adventure because they stayed in a hotel. And yeah. Yesterday, Poppy was home from work all day and got to play with him. You know, she's 20 months old, so has no concept of the fact that they fled with flames leaping 20 feet out from the air above them. And, you know, obviously now that things out, does she get the fact that all her stuff's gone? No, probably not. They managed probably to grab a stuffy or something. And they've got to stay upbeat. I mean, they can't suddenly be totally depressed, awful, you know, distracted parents because she needs life to go on.
Right.
Yeah, and it sounded it, when I talked to her yesterday, my daughter, she sounded upbeat and sort of positive, and just this is an adventure we weren't expecting. So, what are we going to do about it?
Right.
So that's good.
Well, that would have been Mama teaching them at a very early age how to respond to life.
Well, I'm just glad that's what they got because I did hardly sleep the night before last, worrying about this and that. Yeah. So nothing exciting from this side of the pond.
Well, I hope that you feel better soon.
Me too.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, yes, send me information, and I'm curious to see this piece, and I will do some more thinking.
Okay. And we'll talk tomorrow.
No, we won't.
That's right, Wednesdays are taken.
That's right. I'm down to the park and then off to my physio.
That's right. All right. Thursday?
Thursday sounds good. Let me just double check my calendar. I don't do anything without checking my day timer these days.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. I will talk to you Thursday.
Okay. Sounds good. Have a good one. Good luck with your research. Good luck with your calls.
I'm going to do it.
All right.
All
talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.